I'm here today with Michael Blumenthal. Michael, how you doing?
Good. I'm here today with my daughter, Alana.
Hi, Alana.
Hi.
How old are you?
10.
10 years old. Wow. You did a session here at that conference that involved Alana and people like her, right?
Yeah. So at this conference on Monday, I presented a session called Tools to Teach Kids to Code. And we covered a variety of programming languages and programming tools to help get kids interested in coding. There were a couple of ones which are web-based things like Scratch and the Frozen Hour of Code, or some world-building ones like Codu and Project Spark, as well as we also touched on Lego Robotics, as different ways to get kids interested in coding, learn about event-driven programming, and just get into the fundamentals.
Oh, wow. So those are all tools that you talked about? Or mm-hmm. Are they languages, or what are they?
I consider it a tool to teach a kid, but most of them are languages.
Maybe development environments?
And development environments. So it's mostly drag and drop.
Okay.
So, for example, in the Frozen Hour of Code, you learn to program Anna from Frozen to skate a snowflake pattern using coding blocks that you drag and drop onto a page.
Ah, okay. So there's typically some puzzle to solve.
Yes, yeah. And these lessons are, the Hour of Code lessons are particularly good for kids because you do it all in about an hour and break it down to very small lessons that can take like 5 minutes each.
That's cool. Is it possible to learn to code before you learn to read?
I don't think so, because coding is still very much a read and write exercise.
Even though there's drag and drop involved.
Right, but you still have to understand what you're dragging and what you're dropping.
Okay.
And it's very visual, and the blocks you're dragging usually have text on them saying what they do. So, I mean, my 5-year-old reads and writes, so the Frozen Hour of Code, I did that with him,
mm-hmm.
and so he certainly understood what he was doing and enjoyed it. And so I think pre-literacy, it would be very difficult.
Okay. What's the challenge of teaching kids to code as opposed to compared to teaching grown-ups to code? Or is there? Is it similar? I know the tools
Well, some of it's about seeing what they're interested in and going with that. So if you're
true of adults.
Very yeah. So if you're interested in gaming, then maybe you want to start with a world building program that lets you build games. It's a game that lets you build other games. And if you're interested in websites and things on the web, then maybe one of the web based tools is a good place to get started with. And I mean, just because these are geared towards kids doesn't mean they're for kids only. I mean, it just means it's a very accessible, easy entry point into the world of programming.
Okay. Are you, you're teaching your own kids to code, it sounds like.
Yeah, this is the beginning of my journey to do that.
Oh, okay. So you haven't extended it out to, like, other kids in the neighborhood?
No, not in the neighborhood, no. And I mean, speaking here was really the first extending it out to other kids.
Oh, okay. So there was a, what do they call it, that kids, or what are they, let's say.
Here the kids are called Geeklings.
Geeklings, okay.
Show here?
Part of that conference.
And they're given their own badges, which they can decorate. And they decorate them extensively, uh-huh. And that's part of the fun.
I know. I wish I had that many ribbons on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Did Alana write any code?
Well, we played with Sonic Pi, which is another interesting one.
Oh.
So if people are interested in music and creating music, there is a application that uses a programming language called Sonic Pi, which has actually very powerful capabilities in the hood, but you can start out very simply by telling it, play a C note, play a D note.
Okay.
And you learn the basic commands, and then you can put notes together and make music, and you've got synthesizing capabilities and playing a backbeat and audio clips and so forth. You can mix it all together, but using text commands to do so.
Tell me about the transition from going from using these tools, these kind of drag-and-drop tools, into using a more professional tool, using Visual Studio or Eclipse or something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's... I mean,
is that a small jump, a huge jump?
I think it's a significant jump. It's not just about the tool, though. It's about going from dabbling in it to really developing professional development processes, a deeper understanding of how applications need to be organized. So it's, I mean, there's things you can do to get something to work, and there's things that you do to make it maintainable and scalable, and those are very different.
Yeah,
things.
Those are growing up struggle with
yes,
that.
Yes,
is it, it's more than the tooling, though, isn't it? Isn't there a mindset of teaching kids to code and getting them excited about it?
Yeah.
What else
yeah.
is involved?
So, I mean, certainly getting them excited about that, and I mean, so there's different ways to do it. And, you know, it's really about if you're enthusiastic about it, they'll pick up on that. Also, if you can find kids that are maybe just a little bit older than them and are enthusiastic about it, they're more interested in what other kids are doing than what their parents are doing.
Ah.
So, for example, here at that conference, we had a couple of well, we would call them children, but they were, I think, 11, 12, 13 or so,
uh-huh.
and they were teaching courses. And
that is awesome.
It is. It is. And someone observed in the family keynote that if you have a parent and child teaching together, you'll notice that the kids in the classroom lean in when the child is talking.
Interesting.
Yes.
So that peer support is a bit
yes.
big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask Alana a question? What was your favorite part about this learning all this coding?
I think my favorite part was when you put it all together and you see what it makes.
And what did you make?
Music.
Music? That was pretty cool. Was it a song that I would know?
No.
You made a song that you wrote yourself?
Yes.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. Anything else?
That peer-to-peer support is really a key part of getting them enthusiastic about it. I mean, after my session, after my session on tools to teach kids to code, the next session was the Sonic Pi class, and a father and daughter came in, and next thing I turned around, and my daughter and his daughter were sitting next to each other looking at Minecraft together.
Oh, nice.
So and
to get them excited about the computer itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people want to get started teaching their own kids to code.
What
would you say?
I would recommend starting with an hour of code. And that's both in time-wise, keeping things to an hour a day or an hour a week, or maybe even less than that if their kids are very young. But also at code.org, there's tutorials that are on a variety of different platforms and languages and so forth, but they're all geared toward a set of lessons that fit into an hour. So, like, the frozen hour of code is listed there. There's one for Touch Develop where kids learn to fix a side-scrolling game that it can be done in an hour. And so there's a number of languages out there that have tutorials which are fit into an hour. There's books, like Sam's has a series of books, Teach Yourself Something in 24 Hours, and that's 24 one-hour lessons.
Uh-huh.
So pick something, again, based on your interest, your child's interest, the platforms and tools available to you, and pick something that fits into an hour and just try it out and see what happens.
Michael, I love what you're doing, and I really appreciate you spending the time with me. And Alana, it's a pleasure meeting you. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. What have you enjoyed most about this conference?
Everything.
Have you made new friends?
Yes, one.
And have you enjoyed learning about technology?
Yes.
So the things you liked most about this conference were technology and friends?
Yes.